Hello, I'm Sarah Lusher, and welcome to this September edition of the Chatterbox Norfolk magazine. We are bringing you this issue with the kind permission of Archant Publishers and with the efforts of our readers and technicians all still working from home to bring you articles about the people and places around the county. So our readers, Samantha Elmhurst, Kevin Ford, John Francis and Caroline Aldrey, are ready with lots of interesting articles that have a very musical note this month. We hear how a blue blood blues man is keeping music alive at Vaux Wood, why Blur's Dave Rowntree might knock on your door, some amazingly skillful Norfolk instrument makers, and how you might have some old vinyl LPs that are worth a mint. And Rose Tremaine tells us how Norfolk is a safe place for her. So first, here is Dominic Castle, editor of the print edition of the Norfolk magazine. Dominic.
There is a musical flavour to this edition of the magazine, you'll notice. There are some fascinating stories connected to music and music making, but one of these pieces, about Norwich trumpet maker Andy Taylor, brought back some, shall we say, cringeworthy memories. When I was a nipper at school, the corps went out for musical instruments, particularly brass ones. There was to be a brass ensemble formed to toot along merrily at morning assembly in great national occasions. Somehow Dad found out. I'm pretty sure I didn't tell him, having no desire at all to pop along to all things bright and beautiful of a morning. "Here," says Pa, shoving a small oblong suitcase into my hand, "you can take this along to school and donate it to the band." It was a trumpet, or possibly a cornet, complete with mute and showing little signs of use. I'm not quite sure why Dad, who as far as I'm aware couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, had such a thing. I can only imagine that he fancied himself as a jazz man, Dover's own Kenny Ball, rocking up at the coffee bar in a natty sweater with his trumpet and tooting out a tune to win him some admiration from the ladies. This was pre-mum, of course. The fact that the trumpet had never been spoken of in the house before speaks volumes, but whatever, I was given the thing. I took it into school and thrust it at the housemaster. He thrust it back. "You can play it," he said, showing himself to be A, an optimist, and B, very wrong. Playing a trumpet requires you to do the most peculiar thing, a sort of tight-lipped raspberry involving tongue, your face, and occasionally teeth. It's called an embouchure, and despite hours of practice, I could not do it. The brass ensemble, if we can call it that, numbered four. Me and three lads who knew how to make some passably musical noise from their instruments. Maybe they were from Yorkshire, where brass is revered as a precious metal. I, however, could only make three sounds. A feeble parping, an almost silent rasp, and a startling blare which would have been of value to a ship's captain on a foggy night. I had no control or understanding of the keys. So I mimed. Every performance of the brass quartet was actually a trio who could play a bit and me, the Marcel Marceau of the trumpet. I still blush to think about it today. I couldn't even fall back on singing. True, I was in the school choir, but as an alto, that small group who can't hit the heights or the lows, but instead honk along in the middle ground. Took me to some lovely Norfolk venues, handsome churches, Cromer and Causton stick in the mind as wonderful places even to a 12-year-old. But boy was I glad when puberty intervened and I was released back into the wild. I wasn't the only one. Family legend has it that during one Christmas carol service, a performer was doing grievous bodily harm to the opening solo of Once in Royal David City. "Whose offspring could possibly be doing this much damage to a revered carol?" my aghast parents wondered. You're already there, dear reader, so I will leave you with the wish that, musical or not, you enjoy the issue.